Well, good morning. Morning. I have to get this thing set up just to make sure I'm... I think it's okay. Sermon. Haha, that's a good start.
We're good to go, brother.
Let me just go to the next one. God's Sovereign Mercy. And today, chapter 3, Jonah and the Sovereign Lord. Now, you don't go for trivialities like this, but I was looking at the spelling of that word, and the last five letters spell rain, you know, that business of ruling. And then if you put the S-O-V-E at the beginning, that makes sovereign, which is the person who does the reigning. In our case, God Almighty. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you today, Lord, that you are sovereign. And we pray with the early disciples, Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the skies and everything in them, the whole lot. And you spoke by your Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant David, and he asked the question, why do the nations rage and the people think vain thoughts against you? And this is 2026 and these things are still happening. We still have nations in uproar. We still have people who blaspheme your name and ignore you. But today, Lord, we thank you for this book of Jonah, for this story that comes from quite a long time ago. But we thank you, Lord, for the way that you did show your sovereign grace and mercy to those who repent. Praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Second call. Now, the first call we did a couple of weeks back. Hey, this works. Amazing. I know nothing. Now, this is first verse of chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim the message I give you. Now, you probably remember a couple of years back, the first verse says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the first time, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up to me. A little bit different, wasn't it? So in this second one, God doesn't have to mention wickedness because Jonah knows that. But God changes the message a little bit and says, proclaim to it the message I give you. In the first one, it just said, preach against it. So I think God was giving Jonah a bit of help after he'd run away and and he was coming back. Oh, this should go on one. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city, and it took, that's what Ali said, isn't the kids' talk great? If you've got nothing from here on, the kids' talk. Okay, so Nineveh was a very big city. Now, I just want to mention a couple of things about Ethiopia. Yesterday there was the CMS, whatever it's called, conference, summer conference. We went to one a few years back, and Faith Blake, CMS Sydney, was there, and she talked about opportunities around the world for people to go with CMS. And Nineveh was a large city. That was Jonah's job. Faith got up and said, for CMS, she controls half the world. So she has half the world to place people. And part of that was Africa. So we went out, Ray and I went out, and we had a chat to her. And she fairly quickly worked out that several things, some embarrassing things. But she said, first of all, there's a position in Dodoma in Tanzania for a dry land agronomist, which we could have taken up. And there was one in Addis Ababa for a chemistry teacher in a Christian school to teach chemistry to senior students. And then we could fill that one. That was for Ray. So we said to Faith, yeah, we'll volunteer for 6 months. And she said two things. First one, don't bother with months, go for years. And it did end up being 8 years. The second thing she said was, she looked at us and she said, at your age, you better get going. Now, we were only in our mid-60s. We didn't think we were old. But anyway, she said, you better get on with it, get cracking. So we did. We went to Bible college for a semester and did interesting stuff. A couple of things about Bible college. One, they were really keen on praying. Not a bad idea. And one of them was a half-day prayer for students. and addictions made their house available for that. So we went to Bill and Linda's for a morning as a student group to pray. Tremendous stuff. And the other thing was the college organised all the students into threes. They call them prayer triples, I think. So they said to me and the other two blokes they put me together with, you organise yourselves when you can to get together and pray. So when we were on campus at the Bible College, we had spare time. So the three of us got together and prayed, and that was good. And the whole business of praying with other people is not a bad idea. And the quarterly's one's coming up on 7th of Feb, so we'll give it a go if you haven't been before. So praise the Lord for that. Now we went to Bible College, and then let's go here. The message. This is now back to Jonah. Right, Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Look at the first two words. Jonah began. So what we have here is Jonah being obedient to the Lord, went to Nineveh, but then he had to begin. I was reading a thing recently, advice to students who are writing an essay or something, and I think it's called Conquering the Blank Page, I think it was. And the idea was, if you sit down to do something, whether it's whatever, getting started is often a big deal. So they gave advice about how to conquer the blank page. We knew a family once with kids. Their third child didn't walk. So he got to the age where he should have been. He could stand. He was really well balanced, but he didn't walk. And somebody got the idea, I think Mum, that he was probably so well balanced that he didn't know which foot to start with. And so she paddled his knee or pointed to him and said, start with this one. And that boy walked across the room without hesitation. But he had to begin. And the clue there was for him to just go on this leg. It turned out he was really ambidextrous, Christian family, and he ended up being able to bat, cricket, bowl, either hand, footy, either foot, tremendously evenly balanced, and a Christian. So I guess God is still using him somewhere. He was only a young bloke, much younger than I am. So that's the way things happen. And if we don't start, if we delay or hesitate, then quite often we don't get started at all. So I think this business of Jonah began is a good thing to bear in mind. We can do a whole lot of stuff, but if we don't begin, I think it's an old Chinese saying, every walk of 1,000 miles starts with one step or something. But anyway, the whole business of getting started is obviously very important. Now, look at the message. That's what we're talking about. Don't get distracted. So, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. So that's 8 words in the English language. It's only 5 in the Hebrew. And you Hebrew experts know all this stuff. But Dan pointed out to me that the last word in Hebrew, which here is translated overthrown or destroyed, and that's a good translation, no problem, but that same Hebrew word in the Old Testament is more often translated in a much more positive sense. So it could be in the sense of, I wrote down a couple, but I can't find them. So more positive, like, actually I should find that, because Jonah began 40 more days. I don't know. Ah, yeah, there it is. So the word can mean purified or transformed or restored. So that seems to be pretty much the opposite of overthrown, doesn't it? You know very well that Jonah wanted that first meaning. He wanted Nineveh to be overthrown. The Assyrians were enemies of God, and Jonah was just really, he sat down waiting for God to destroy Nineveh. Now, Mike in his parish church update mentioned that God's mercy is shown to anyone who repents. And Mike gave the example, those at the Bondi massacre thing, there were extremists who were rejoicing that Jews had been killed. So that anti-Semitism type stuff is around, of course. Actually, a few days ago, I went for a walk around our place, just in the suburb of Adelaide, and there was an old car parked. It was pretty much under a... It was on the road, legally parked, sort of under an overhanging tree, and somebody had graffitied a swastika about that big on the bonnet of the car. And what sort of thoughts would go through your head if you saw a swastika? Lots of went through my head, and some of them are not very, very godlike. But don't things trigger things in our mind, don't they? And so we're careful to obey God's word. Now here, the last word is either overthrown or restored. And of course, God had planned for Nineveh to repent and to be restored. Now, so he began, that's good. That's the two words. Now, the response. Too far. But let the people, animals, one more. I must have hit the wrong button. Okay. The Ninevites believed God. Who was speaking? Jonah. Straight away, apparently, they believed God. That's not a bad effort, is it? They believed God, even though it was Jonah speaking. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Then we come to the king. The king didn't even hear Jonah. So when the warning came to the king, he believed Jonah as well. And look what he did. Rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. So the king's response was even stronger than the people. And you all know, I would think, sackcloth is sort of woven very, very rough stuff from goat's hair or camel's hair or something. And if you put that next to your skin, that would be slightly irritating. And that's what these people did. They put on sackcloth and the king sat in the dust. So that's a tremendous way of expressing the fact that they were sorry for their sins. Well, and back in the sermon, you would have noticed this yourselves. The sermon is quite amazing for not so much what it says, but what it doesn't say. You'll remember that Jonah's sermon was only 5 Hebrew words. Did he mention God? Did he mention sin? Did he mention unrighteousness? Did he mention repentance or forgiveness? Not a word. And yet the people and the king took this as a message from God, and God wanted them to do all those things. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Okay, so let the people and the animals, even the animals, cover the sackcloth, and everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. So when the king heard the message that Jonah was proclaiming, who did he turn to straight away? God. Now in the next one, who knows? This is the king. God may yet relent with compassion and turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. So I'm only sort of emphasising the fact that when the people of Nineveh heard Jonah, they heard God. And when the king heard Jonah's message, he turned to God, which is pretty amazing. Now, how did those people know that it was God? And I guess to some extent, Israel was a big enemy of the Assyrians. And part of the deal was that these Israelites seemed to have a great God, a God that could do stuff. And the Assyrians, like the Pharisees, I suppose, in the New Testament, they were a bit jealous or something, and they wanted to get rid of the Israelites. So that would be one reason. But there is a business of inferring the existence of God. Now, we have ears and eyes and all that stuff, so we can see and hear and whatever, whatever. We do not have a sensory organ for time, except our whole brain. And so, in a way, we learn time from our environment. There's no built-in sensor in us for time. So we have to infer it. And I think God wants us to infer all sorts of things, and I reckon that's what happened here. They inferred that this was God. This is from the psalm that was read. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. And you remember that psalm goes on and talks about they speak all this stuff, and then a few verses, they don't have words, but they speak forth God's glory. And then this one from Romans. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what he's made, so that people are without excuse. So there is a sense in which God expects us to infer things from his creation. And I like talking to Anthony occasionally because he's such a knowledgeable bloke and I'm such an ignoramus. But we talk occasionally about the universe exists. The universe exists. Now that's a big plus in terms of God, I think. Here it is. The universe is also quite ordered. It's made in a way to have a planet like this one, star like our sun, solar system like ours. And even some of the cosmologists or astrophysicist type people, pretty smart people, not necessarily Christians, but some of them see in this universe an anthropic principle. So they see a principle where this universe seems to be finely tuned to allow us, to allow life on Earth. And of course we see that as God's creation. No problem with that at all. So we infer God, I think, from his creation. How do we hear from God? Let me go to this one. Right. Now, this is in Acts, isn't it? John and Peter were in prison, I think. Actually, when John and Peter were released from prison, it says the early disciples got together and they prayed, Sovereign Lord, all that stuff. Did they pray in unison, or did one of them pray and all the rest say amen? I don't know. All the disciples prayed. Anyway, this was in their prayer. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant David. How did God speak? Through the mouth of David. And of course, we have David, some of the words that he spoke are in the Psalms. And this one, why the nations rage and so on, that's in Psalm 2, I think. Anyway, it's in the Psalm. So David spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of David, God spoke. So that's one way we can hear from God. Let me just finish on that. The Word of God, the Word of God. The Word, Jonah 1:1. The Word of the Lord came to Jonah. Jonah 3:1. The Word of the Lord came to Jonah again. The Word of the Lord comes to us here each week when Mike and other people pray. Preach from the Word of God. We hear that. And we know that, don't they? When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, he did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, please help us to recognize our own need for your grace and mercy in our lives, and help us to look around and continue to be in prayer for others who also, we all need your grace and mercy in our lives. So help us, Lord, to be disciples of yours and ambassadors for your gospel message. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.